Welcome to the InnovaBus podcast, where our job is to help you build visibility, professional credibility, and connection with your ideal client by putting the human at the center of innovative marketing, so you can build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship with your ideal clients. I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm honored that you're here with me. If you haven't yet joined our wonderful Flywheel Nation community, go to flywheelnation.com and join in the podcast conversations. Do subscribe to the show and also leave a review because it helps others find us. Let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast. Welcome to today's episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we're thrilled to host Erin Andrea Krusk, a master of blending corporate strategy with personal enlightenment to forge a path of effortless success. Erin's insights are like a smooth current guiding you through the often turbulent waters of leadership and strategic decision making. Tune in as she navigates us towards serene waters, where managing your professional and personal growth becomes a tranquil and empowering journey. Join us to discover actionable wisdom that will streamline your approach to business and to life, ensuring every endeavor flows with ease. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited today to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast from central England in the UK, Erin Andrea Krusk, who's a life coach, a visionary coach, an author, and a self-described rebel at heart. So I'm looking forward to learning more about that. Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, Erin. It's a great privilege to have you as my guest.
Thank you so much, Jürgen, for inviting me and for having me here. It's my pleasure. I hope it's going to be useful for your listeners because this is the reason I'm here for.
Yeah. Now, we had an interesting conversation to get to know one another, and I know you have a corporate background and you have taken what you've learned there, corporate strategy, and also with personal development. And you help guide individuals and businesses through transformational change. And we're all about transformational change here too. So I'm really looking forward to our conversation today. Now, before we get into all those details, Erin, what's the impact you're hoping to make in the world?
Well, again, as you rightly said, that, you know, when I launched my coaching practice, I had to combine so many different things, you know, including my business background and the book that was in the process, you know, in the writing, and my personal life experience and my aspirations where I wanted to go and my personality. So actually it was like, you know, fiery melting pot of things that are not mergeable. It took me around 6 months to figure out how I can, you know, find my way around it. And at the end of the day, I came up with this effortlessness philosophy and several business and leadership related programs around effortless leading, leaving, or creation. And I figure out that the people I want to work with are businesses. They can be called conscious businesses, social businesses, ethical, positive impact driven businesses. Those businesses and business leaders who want to do good just beyond making profit, who want to contribute. And I believe that if I empower them to be better, stronger, more powerful, more profitable, they will be able to bring more contribution to this world, to make the world a better place. So this is how I would like to contribute, empowering them and amplifying the ripple effect of goodness that they are bringing to the world.
Yeah. I love that whole concept of contributing to other people's success in a way that actually amplifies the impact you're having, right?
Exactly, because this is as much as I can do being myself as an individual. You know, you really, even if you want to make such a difference, you're limited just because of the sheer size of who you are on this planet. So by working with businesses, they have a little bit more power than I do.
Excellent. All right. Now, you touched on the idea of effortless strategy and effortless leadership. You've also talked about to me. So tell us a little bit more about what is the effortless strategy or the effortless way to do things?
It really depends, because obviously in strategy, leadership, or profitability, or in life, they're going to be different things. But as I see it now, you know, through having multiple conversations, is that what happens very often in the world, we pay attention and we try to easy fix symptoms. Symptoms that always multiply. You have only one root cause, but how this root cause is being manifested, it manifests through many different things that are not good for us and don't make our lives easy. They make our life effortful because you try to tackle and to fix every symptom separately, and just by sheer volume of what we need to do, right, it becomes overwhelming. And then you have something else because you haven't tackled, you haven't addressed the root cause. And this is what I call effortful. Effortless is when you do and address one thing once and for all. And with fixing, you know, the foundation, this root cause, the systemic issue, all symptoms that were bugging you before, they will disappear or they will diminish. So they're not going to be that prominent. And that will make our life much easier and our business much more effortless to manage. So what I'm talking about when it comes to leadership, it is about your self-concept, how you perceive yourself, because through your self-perception, you know, your way of thinking about yourself, from this place gonna stem your thoughts, your emotions, and your actions. So we can work on actions till cows come home, but if we just try to address your self-concept so you see yourself in a different light, you know, this is something that's gonna bring sustainable longer-term change effect that not only be visible and prominent in your leadership role, but also gonna have ripple effect on your personal life, on the team performance, you know, all your cognitive and mental and emotional and relational health. So all together coming from this change, profound change. In business, a strategy. Because again, what we currently do as a business, we're all driven by instant gratification. It's all about tactics. It's all about best practices. It's all about how-tos. But we don't pay much attention to whys. And why is a deeper question. And why is your strategy? If you don't have a strategy, it's very difficult to find a direction and shape the destination where you're going to. It becomes challenging to manage your resources, you know, because you become scattered all over the place. It's very challenging to create a motivation for your team because your team doesn't really know where to go. And when they go one direction, you know, then the direction change and they have to swiftly change and move into opposite direction. That creates a lot of stress and dissatisfaction because they can't see results, their contribution to what they do. And profitability.
You talked about self-awareness there, and I know we touched on this before we started recording, but yeah. And working on self first, and the idea of strategy. So a lot of people are not strategic. A lot of leaders are not strategic. It's just not in their nature. They're more like go with the flow. I don't know what to describe that, and I struggle with that. I had leaders that were like that, and I had exactly the reaction that you described there, in that it was very confusing. It was like, what are we doing today? And yesterday we did this, today we're doing this. Some people just are not wired that way in strategic, and yet they don't appreciate that that's impacting their leadership style or their leadership skills. So what do you say to people? Because coming back to this idea of effortless and working on yourself first, how do you kind of get people, regardless of whether they're strategic or whether they kind of more go with the flow, and there's obviously a continuum there, how do you get people to kind of address that core, as you put it, address the fundamental problem, the pillar?
Well, you know what? It's really interesting. I understand that we have different personalities. So we are more, some people more into one thing and somebody else into something else, right? So from this perspective, I understand that we're wired slightly differently. But when we say that we are not strategic, strategic is a label. That's a label I'm putting on myself. I'm strategic, I'm not strategic. So for me, the first thing would be to understand what a strategic mean to you, you know, and what wearing this label means to you. Because in reality, it's like the same, you know, I keep on saying that some people say, I'm not entrepreneurial. Yeah. You know what? We were all born from a purity. And then throughout our life, we acquire these labels. I am entrepreneurial. I am not entrepreneurial. Hmm. Is it really true? Is there a certain gene that's going to be responsible for entrepreneurial spirit? Or is there a gene being responsible for strategy? Yes, you're going to have some people that are more prompt or wired to see bigger picture. And you're going to have people that are more into detail. I understand that. But at the same time, strategy is a process, is the process of asking questions and linking where you want to be with where you are at the moment of time. So it is about analysis of where you are, what stops you from being there, and addressing these particular issues. So it's about seeing ahead and preventing, you know, preempting either potential challenges or, again, putting all resources together to address and to achieve where you want to be. So that is a planning exercise. And yes, not everybody would enjoy doing planning because, again, it's a different personality, but it's perfectly doable. So when I say that I don't have strategy because I'm not strategic, I believe it's an excuse.
Yeah. Well, that's a good, it's a really good point. The labeling thing is a really good point because we kind of make it part of our identity, don't we?
And exactly.
I mean, the classic one is I'm not creative because I can't draw. So I'm not an artist. So therefore I'm not creative. So already I've labeled myself. And yet we're all creative because we all come up with ideas and we all translate the ideas we have in some form. And it doesn't have to be a big idea. It doesn't have to be inventing something.
Yeah,
world changing. It could be as simple as solving a little problem we have around home.
Yeah, exactly. So to start with, creative and artistic are two different things. Hmm. And the point number two, it's not always about talent, you know, because as a society, we're so fixed on talent, you know, his talenting, we're promoting talent, we're being so much appreciative of talents. We talk about it all the time, but in reality, apart from talent, you really need to have discipline to work hard to improve yourself. Yes, when you have talent to start with, or you have certain predisposition, again, being analytical for working in analytics, you know, being whatever to work somewhere else. So yes, that helps definitely when you have this natural things that gives a start, gives a foundation. But then you can't all your time depend solely on your talent. You have to develop it. And I know a lot of people that are not particularly talented in certain area, but because they gave so much attention to improving themselves, to work on it, because this is something they wanted, you know, they are pretty much at the same level as the person, talented person, with time it equalizes. So, yeah, you know, this
and,
label.
And we all have, we all know of so many examples, right, where people, where we say that person's wasted their talent. So people have a natural talent for something or other, but they don't put in the work.
And we have so many artists and self-taught artists and so many sportsmen, you know, that go there, get their awards just because of their dedication and hard work. So, yeah, talent or being artist or not being artist to be creative as has nothing to do with it, as well as being strategic or not being strategic. If you want to learn it, you can learn it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an excellent point. Now, you mentioned your book earlier, so writing the book seems to have been a bit of an exercise in self-reflection as well as kind of documenting your journey and documenting the whole process of the effortless philosophy. So what were some of the most surprising insights that you learned through that writing process?
The book was dedicated to my 20 years in business and brand strategy, and this is exactly what it is about. With regards to insights, you know, the insights actually came earlier because that was the reason why I decided to write the book. I had conversations with multiple business owners across different industries and company sizes. So, you know, there was not like I was targeting somebody or the group that is very homogeneous in their description. So I was all over the place. And talking to them, I started seeing the patterns of how they behave in business, how they lead their business. And I also saw their reaction on what I was selling about strategy and market analysis that I was doing for every interview. So, and it was so clear to me that they had no clue, you know, what I was talking about. While I thought from my perspective, I was talking about basics. It's like totally foundational knowledge that in my world, every business person is supposed to have before they start their business journey. Right? So it was a little bit naive, I would presume, you know, but I thought that at some point, when you also start looking at the numbers in terms of how many businesses fail and what the reasons behind their failures, because some of them analyze and they write about it, it was pretty much exactly what I noticed as a pattern. And this is why I thought that it seems like I know a little bit more than other people do, although it never, you know, came across my mind that I may be more knowledgeable than other people, because I thought everybody were all the same in business. And so that actually prompted me to write everything that I knew about business, brand, communication, portfolio, growth, any type of strategy in one document, in one book, calling a strategy guide. So that actually what it was, because I figure out that all the knowledge that I have, first of all, is going to be safer on paper than in my head, and I didn't want to die with it. And then I thought that, you know what, there may be people or business owners that would like, they're not afraid of enhancing their knowledge. They're not afraid of admitting that they may not know everything. And probably, you know, my book going to be of benefit to such people. This is why I wrote it.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? There's so many examples, and I still get this so often, where we assume that something we know is, everyone knows that. It's trivial. And yet I've had this experience so often where somebody's observed me doing something and they react as if I've just performed magic, and And they say, oh, how did you do that? And I have to ask them, what do you mean? What are you referring to? What is it that I just did? And it often are such little things that I don't even have to think about doing it. It's just like second nature. And so you take it so much for granted, and yet that's a skill that other people place a huge amount of value on because they don't have it and they don't know how to do what I've just done. And it sounds like that was a little bit the case with your research before you wrote the book.
You know what? I believe that the more knowledgeable the person is, the more doubting, you know, he is of his knowledge. That will be my perception, that less you know, more opportunity you have just to go and to being blissfully ignorant.
Yeah. Yes, it's fascinating. Now, one of the things I'm curious about, you kind of went from a corporate background and strategy and very senior positions, and then you completely transformed into coaching and into psychology. Why that transition? And then I'll have a follow-up question to get your thoughts on what you learned.
To start with, psychology was something that I was interested in, because I believe that strategy, brand strategy specifically, is about psychology. You either need to understand human nature from a scientific point of view, how they think and how they behave and what drives their behavior, or at least you need to be empathetic. Either or. Otherwise, you are not going to be a good strategist, but it's just a totally different conversation, was my experience. So I've always been fascinated by psychology. I had personal experiences that prompted me to learn clinical psychology or psychiatry, because I was trying to understand what drives certain conditions, you know, what's behind it. Also, I at some point of time, I wanted actually to become a clinical psychologist. But then I thought, it's like, I don't know, 10 years of education, something, and I don't know how much money. Like, no, okay, it's probably a bit too late. So, yeah, it wasn't a surprise to me. Although I never considered coaching. I had two coaches in the past. One was a team leadership and the second one was career coach. The first one was good. The second one was dreadful. And I never thought of coaching ever before, ever after, because like made no sense to me. Yeah. So, but I was going through a personal transformation process where I realized I'm not going back to the corporate, and I was writing the book. I didn't know what I'm going to do with it because I wasn't ready to speak out. I wasn't ready to promote myself. I just didn't want to do anything of what I'm doing right now. So I was just writing it for the sake of sharing my knowledge. That was it. And one morning I woke up and I had this idea that I'm going to be a coach. It came from nowhere. It was a complete 100% download. And it just felt so natural. I called everybody, all my friends, all my relatives, saying that, you know what, I'm going to be a coach. Now I know what I'm going to do with my life. Because before I was completely aimless. I really didn't know the direction, destination I've chosen. So this is how I decided to be a coach. No other particular reason behind it. Because then I still had to figure out what it means, because I had no idea.
You had two models, and one of them was pretty awful by the sound of it.
Yeah, she was dreadful. She didn't care.
Yeah. So how did you go about discovering what a coach actually was, having made this decision with very little conscious information by the sound of it?
Yeah, I didn't know much about it. My friend's husband, he is in action. He's an action coach. So I didn't know much about it either. I had a conversation with him. And then I got, you know, I was sitting on Instagram, and then I got like advert from Mind Valley Ever Coach. And like, we offer a discount on our coaching courses. I'm like, okay, that's handy. You know, it's perfect timing. And all started from that place. So it was one course, another course. Then I took 3 ICF certifications in life business and expressive arts coaching, because I know that ICF is a golden standard. It's really important for some companies. But nevertheless, you know, it's a good knowledge. And I continued my education since. So I've been studying for a good few years now. And I have a lot of studies planned already for future. So I'm not expecting myself to slow down in my education process.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you're having a lot of fun in the process too.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, love it. It's my hobby, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, now, one of the things that I found fascinating, you talked about being a rebel, and it sounds like now you're a rebel with a cause. So how do you integrate being a rebel, because that sounds like it's part of you, with the structured coaching approach that fits the strategy, the effortless philosophy?
So, yeah, within the philosophy, and if we look at the 3 Freedoms program, for example, 3 Freedoms is the only program that I offer as life coaching, because all other programs, they're very much business and leadership related. So there's 3 freedoms, starting with freedom from, then you move into freedom to be, and then you move freedom to create. Freedom from, I'm combining different philosophies here, sorry about that. It may be a bit complicated. Freedom from actually consists of 2 stages. The first stage is a status quo, is to realize about where we are, or where you are, you know, what's going around us. It's the realization, the starting point. And the second point, moving on from the status quo, is rebellion. So to get free, you have to rebel against where you are at the moment of time. And this is where, you know, it's kind of plays part, because it's the only way. If you want to stand and do your own thing and play by your rules and achieve success on your own terms and be in complete comfort with yourself, you have to rebel. There's no other way around it.
So it's kind of the first stage of, okay, we're moving away from this, and then we rebuild something else.
Exactly, yeah. And I love
excellent.
It.
Yeah, that's quite obvious. All right, Erin, well, this is fascinating. I think it's a good point now, though, to move on to the buzz, our innovation round. It's the same 5 questions that I ask of every guest. So the idea is you'll give us some really sharp and insightful answers for our listener to actually take some action as a result today and do something awesome. So you all set?
Yeah.
Let's excellent. Give all right. All right. What's the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
I don't know whether there's a one thing that they need to do. There's one thing that they have, they need to be. They need to be free and they need to feel safe.
Yeah, I love that. Be, yeah.
Yeah, it. Because a lot of things, you know, when we talk about innovation or creativity within a business, we don't realize that it comes from the place where people feel free and safe to share ideas and come on with ideas. Often the culture within a company is quite suffocating, and people are not welcome with a challenge, with different ideas, with constructive criticism, you know, and offering a different solution. And if you don't have the culture that allows people to be themselves and to be motivated to improve the business and be safe about sharing their ideas, then you can forget about innovation. I don't believe it's going to work.
Yeah, that's a really good point. The culture is so important, isn't it? And and having a culture where people can challenge the status quo, be the rebel, and and also take some risk.
That's exactly it, because rebels are change makers. You know, you need to be a non-conformist to progress and to show and suggest something different, because when you're conforming, everybody's going to be doing exactly the same things. So rebels are drivers of the progress, they're change makers.
Excellent. All right, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
You're looking for a how-to. I don't have a how-to because I am creative. Probably because I'm free. You know, I'm free always, because rebels are very often, they're more authentic and they're free because they kind of take care less of the society, you know, of the environment. Yeah. And from this place, I had no constraints. I knew what I was doing. There's only one prerogative that is important. I knew my foundations. I knew the foundation of what I was doing in leadership and marketing, so I couldn't do wrong. And on the basis, on the foundation of my knowledge, I could do and go any other direction, you know, because I know that, again, I'm doing no wrong. So that was my recipe for creativity. Just, you know, do whatever you think is right as long as it doesn't contradict your classic marketing knowledge.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And also your core values, I'm guessing.
My core values? It's freedom, integrity, dignity, fairness, equality.
Yes, and clearly that plays into that. So what's next question to the buzz round? What's one of the resources you use most often?
You mean technological resources or what? Any
could
type
be,
of resource?
Could be anything, any type of resource.
Hey, I'm actually, ChatGPT. is it a resource?
That's coming up a lot lately.
Yeah,
you can have that, a whole episode about ChatGPT and how you
that's
use
my
it.
Friend. It's so sad. You know, sometimes I even have a conversation with it. And I love talking to it in intelligence.
Yeah, you know what? That's where the power of it is, having conversations with it, not just asking a question and getting an answer and accepting that answer and saying, well, okay, that's a good answer. Because if you're looking for facts, often it's wrong, because really all it's doing is bringing facts out of the internet, and half of the stuff, or maybe 80% of the stuff on the internet's wrong, right?
Exactly.
But having a conversation is a different kettle of fish, because you can then use your own brain to filter the information. And you go back and say, are you sure about that? And question it.
Yeah, exactly. You need to challenge back. And it apologizes so often. It's quite funny.
It does. Yes, it does.
And another resource I can't live without is YouTube. Because everything that I'm learning, all the latest thing that happened in the world, all my entertainment, because I don't have entertainment for the sake of it. So all my entertainment is educational. Like, I'm boring like hell. Honestly. It's just education all over me. So all comes from YouTube. I can't live without. Another resource, apart from few educational courses, you know, like I pay subscription and I get a lot of courses that also take as hobby. And another source is Instagram, but it's purely private and it's massively aesthetical. So Instagram is all about painting and drawing, art, photography, videography.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, it's like a creative, I guess, resort. You know, I'm just trying.
Fascinating. You've got almost the same things that I visit every day. So I have conversations with ChatGPT every day, use it for all kinds of different things. YouTube, I'm always on YouTube trying to figure something out. So it's almost the place I go now. If I want to learn how to do something, I'd go to YouTube first. And I use Instagram for my business, but I also have a personal Instagram account, which the main reason for that is photography. And I follow photographers and, because that's my creative outlet.
Robert, well, I mean, I will be happy to follow you if you're a good photographer.
Yep. All right, next question to the buzz round. What's the best way to keep a client on track?
As fun and igniting his motivation, their motivation, that, you know, throughout the whole process, reminding of why they're doing what they're doing and why they want to change it. And another thing is to make it easy and effortless. Make it as comfortable as possible. Yes, we all talk about challenges. And yes, some people like me, I do like challenges. Not that I do like, I basically don't mind. They don't bother me. But we need to realize that any type of a personal change, it is challenging by definition. That just thinking of it is already make a lot of people uncomfortable. So those people who are not afraid of changing, those who welcome this change, they're already heroes. It's a big step. And I believe that I want to celebrate them by keeping them comfortable throughout this change. You know, encouraging and letting them know that they can succeed, that they can get there. It's not as... So that's my recipe. Just make the person comfortable and motivating.
Comes back to the providing a safe space in some ways, doesn't it? What you mentioned earlier. All right, and final question to the buzz round. What's the number one thing anyone could do to differentiate themselves?
The first immediate word that come to mind, authenticity, but it's, oh dear God, it's so overused that I think it's just losing its power. Everybody talks about it, with 90% of these people not even knowing what being authentic is. So that diminishes the value of the word. To differentiate yourself, you have to be authentic. You know, and you need to know how you are different and what you offer, how it is different versus other, whoever you're competing with. I mean, if we talk about business, because brand differentiation, and it is emotional, it's not rational, it's emotional differentiation, is the strongest and the only one available to us. Any type of rational differentiation, they're not sustainable. So... That's, I guess, being who you are. And since we're emotional beings, whether we want it or not, you know, showing this side will make us look different.
Yeah.
What would be your answer to this question?
That's really good. Nobody's ever turned it around on me. I think we did an early episode where I answered those questions. But, my point is that we are all different. We're all unique. Like, my DNA is not the same as anybody else's DNA, and there's 7 or however many billion people on the planet, and not one of them is the same as my DNA. So we are different. So my answer, I guess, is be yourself, be true to yourself, and that's, to me, that's authenticity. And be self-aware. Accept your... strengths, accept your weaknesses, work on your weaknesses, but forgive yourself for those as well. So,
And I absolutely
think we don't need to try to be different.
Oh, no, that's definitely out of question. You know, trying
in terms,
this is what I'm saying, that it's not about trying to be different, it's realizing where you are different already.
Yeah, the purpose of the question, I guess, in terms of a business. It's like, why should I deal with you as a coach, for example? Because, I had a coach before and she was awful, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So as a business, as a coach, as this example, then you say, well, I'm different, right?
It's exactly that. And, you know, for all people that consider coaching, I always wanted to say, and it's probably not particularly professional or salesy from my part, but it's definitely truth. When you look for a coach, there's one thing and the only thing that you need to pay attention to start with. You need to feel comfortable with this person. You need to feel that there's chemistry, that you can establish trust, because often coaching, especially coaching that I do, requires a hell of a lot of honesty. You know, so honesty with me, and especially honesty with yourself. And from this place, you need to be with a person you trust. So it's not about, this is how you then obviously, you know, if the result resonates, if methodology resonates, if the coach wants to work with you, you know, because there's no, you know, not always a match made in heaven, but you are investing in yourself. You're not paying a coach. You're investing in yourself. And from this perspective, you need to be comfortable with what you're spending your money on.
That's a really good point. And investing in yourself sort of brings it back a little bit about how do you differentiate yourself? Well, invest in yourself. Get to know yourself and get to know how you can improve. Right.
And just don't try to be. That is a recipe to disaster. When you try to be, people are going to see it. Or you're going to reveal yourself, the worst moment you wouldn't want people to know. Don't try to be.
All right. Well, thanks for getting us through the buzz round, Erin. Now, where can people find out more about you, get hold of your book, and maybe even reach out and say thanks for if shared today?
Yeah, in the show notes, there are going to be a link, you know, to where you can click, all those who are interested, with all the offers mentioned equally in the same place. So to make it easier for you.
Excellent. All right. And as Erin said, we'll have all that in the show notes. So finally, before we wrap it up, Erin, what action would you like our listener to take out of our conversation today?
You know, I would build on what you've just said, or you said earlier, and I would say, don't be afraid of knowing yourself. Don't be afraid of understanding what drives your behavior, the good and especially the bad and the ugly. Right, if you don't like something about what happened, about your reaction, the best way to get around it and to fix it is to understand what is behind it. And you may identify a lot of different things. Don't be afraid of self-reflect and know yourself. And from this place, many wonderful things are going to happen. And by the way, we just talked, you know, before the podcast about the gentleman who was struggling and miserable for his whole life because of what happened to him, unless he discovered the power of self-forgiveness. Because, and that comes from your self-awareness and self-reflection, because you will realize what bugs you, what bothers you, what you need to forgive and let go. And trust me, that's going to be absolutely different and wonderful from this place forward.
Wonderful call to action. And I think the place to start is that self-reflection, taking time to meditate or just quieten down the mind and stop doing what you normally do and just really reflect on what's going on. And
or write a journal. Don't think, just ask yourself a journal question and then write down everything comes to mind. And then you can analyze what is written and probably find something you didn't think of.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks for that. And thanks so much for the conversation today, Erin. This has been absolutely fascinating. I really enjoyed it. And all the best for the future. And please do stay in touch.
Thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you for your smile. And thank you for your insightful questions. That was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. We'd love you to leave a review on this episode. It will help us to make the podcast better for you. Simply go to lovethepodcast.com/InnovaBuzz and pick your preferred platform. Remember to visit innovabiz.co/flywheel and secure your membership to the exclusive Flywheel Nation community, where you'll enjoy direct access to our incredible podcast guests, engaging meaningful conversations, and participate in connection events designed to elevate your business journey. Don't miss out. Join Flywheel Nation today. Tune in again to the next episodes of the Innova Buzz podcast, where we've got yet more fantastic guests lined up. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.